We hear again from the gospel text of Mark 9. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became radiant, intensely white, as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." For he did not know what to say, for they were terrified. And a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." In the name of Jesus. There can be a danger in looking at the Mount of Transfiguration for us, because we're tempted, somewhat rightly, to say that it's an extraordinary event of God in heaven breaking into our life here on earth. But that leaves it as if God, all-powerful, infinite, all-knowing, has made a way for himself to open up maybe a little window from infinite heaven down to finite earth so that he can enter into our miserable little finite world, giving us a glimpse of the immense infinite power and glory and divinity of heaven. And seeing that, then, we should be impressed. Jesus, God the Son, come down from heaven, standing on a mountain in radiant, intense white clothing like no one's seen before. We should be impressed and even comforted. This is, after all, our Lord. And then there's Moses and Elijah. Moses, who lived on earth some 1,500 years before this Mount of Transfiguration, he's standing there with Jesus. Elijah, too, who lived on the earth some 900 years before, he's standing there. So Moses and Elijah are not dead. They're living at the face of God. Moses and Elijah breathing and talking. We should be impressed and comforted. There's no death for those who have faith in the promise. The mountain tells us that. But we're hit with a danger when looking at the Mount of Transfiguration. It's the God of all power and might, all holiness and glory, and he's in the flesh. Moses and Elijah at his face in human conversation. So are we impressed and comforted? Because Peter's there, and he's not. He's confused. Mark 9:6. And Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." For Peter did not know what to say, for they were terrified. So it's not just confusion, it's terror. And not just Peter, but also James and John. All of them are terrified. Why? Jesus, transfigured in radiant white clothing, Moses and Elijah alive and breathing, and they're terrified? It is not good, maybe, they think, to see that Jesus has all power, even over death. Peter, James, and John, they do somehow see what's happening. It's right in front of them. Nothing confusing about that. But they see it for terror. They don't see it for comfort, for mercy. There's no gospel. They see God in his power and might and holiness, but they're missing something. And we too would miss it had we been standing alongside them, because we too, like Peter, James, and John, stand in the same sinful flesh. We stand with consciences unclean. We stand as those looking to justify ourselves by the law while we know we cannot. In our sinful flesh, we, like Peter, James, and John, look at Jesus with a veil over our eyes. The veil, it's the law. The veil is the guilt we live in, knowing that the law accuses us at every step. The veil is the shame covering us, not only for our own sin, but for the sin of the world around us, the sin that we suffer having been done to us. The veil is the unclean conscience reading everything according to the law and finding no way out. With this veil over our eyes, we too will look at Jesus and be terrified. We will see the holiness, and in our holiness, we will keep ourselves as far away as possible. We will see the righteous one, and we will want to hide, like Adam and Eve in the garden. We will see his power, even power over death, and we will know that that power of his crushes anything belonging to sin and death. With a veil over our eyes, we, like Peter, James, and John, will be terrified. The veil is the law. The veil is Holy Scripture, even. When we read the Bible and see the holiness and the power and the divinity of God, but not the weakness and the grace. 2 Corinthians 3:15. For to this day, when they read the Old Covenant, the same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. This is why, even today, one can read the Bible and find in it only rules and regulations and more law of how to live a Christian life. Read the Bible and find there only a demand to live a clean life, and then, seeing one's sin, find only fear and despair. Because the way the sinful flesh will every time read the Scriptures and will use the Bible is the way of the law. But the veil is lifted. 1 Corinthians 3:16. For to this day, when they read the Old Covenant, the same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. The veil is lifted in hearing the voice of Jesus. This is my beloved Son, said the Father. Hear him. At the voice of Jesus, the veil is removed. The voice of Jesus says, I forgive you your sin. It says, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. It says, take and drink. This is my blood for the forgiveness of your sins. In those words, Jesus removes the veil from our eyes. This is my Son. Hear him, said the Father. So we hear Jesus. We hear him say, I forgive you. And now we look at him standing on the Mount of Transfiguration, and we see not a sight to bring terror to the sinner, but our Savior on the way to the cross, where he will shed the blood to atone for us. And it is not then for us fear, but faith. And we look at Moses and Elijah standing next to Jesus, and we see these two servants who spoke the gospel to Israel and cleansed them of their sins by speaking to them the promise. And it is not fear for us to see Moses and Elijah standing there, but confidence and joy. For they belong to life as they belong to Jesus. And we are given to know, as we belong to Jesus, we too belong to life. So we turn to Jesus, and the veil is removed. As Paul says, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. 1 Corinthians 3:17. Freedom for us and our families. Freedom from all which enslaves. Freedom from the law, for we no longer live as slaves to the law, but as children of the Father. Freedom from the devil, for where sins are forgiven, the devil has no charge to bring against us in our conscience. Freedom from death, for Jesus is the Lord, not of the dead, but of the living, and all those belonging to him, Moses and Elijah, Peter and James and John, you and me, all those belonging to him belong to life. In the name of Jesus, amen.